And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines.
What?
And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard, and a beard, and a beard, and a beard, except that Dr. Frank didn't make it before the music was done. Ah, he was late. He was late. You did. All right, you there, Frank? I heard the kableep. You there? You there? You there?
I'm here.
You couldn't make it before the music stopped. And all you had to do is push a button. You're killing me, man. You're killing me. All right. So tomorrow we're not going to do a Christmas show because you got like babies and stuff.
Yeah, well, supposedly I'm hoping Santa swings by here. So, you know, if Santa does not, because, you know, the thing is, you have to understand, I'm not sure if I get presents tomorrow because I asked Santa for some things, actually the brand new Tangerine Dream box set.
Of course.
But if I don't, you know, I'm hoping to get it. And if so, I want to spend time with the family, and believe it or not, it's a little more important than politics. The one thing for the year. However, I just want to make a deal with you. If I don't get any presents, then I will definitely do the show. Because I've been thinking this over. Santa Claus sounds more like a progressive, doesn't he? Like, he just, like, gives stuff out to everybody. So I'm thinking, if he knows I'm a Trump supporter, because I got a big Trump with a Santa hat in my house, he might skip me over. So,
hey, I pay Santa in good deeds. You know, if I've been good, I've been nice. You know, that's my payment. Damn it, fork it over. You know.
Well, I have a feeling. I think that Santa's probably a Trump supporter. That's kind of my feeling about it.
Oh, did you see the story I did?
Wait. I mean, think about it. Donald Trump made it legal to say Merry Christmas again. So I have a feeling he's probably a Trumper, but can't say.
Well, I saw. Did you? Obviously, you did not see the story that I did.
Go ahead.
It's a story of. Santa Claus, yes, America, there really is a Santa. Okay, this is a story that I put up. What happened, Laura Ingraham had this story. I don't know where I came across it. Somebody sent it, maybe you or so. I don't know. It was a guy that for 48 years, he hit 48 years. What did he start when he was 12 or something? 48 years, he's been the Santa at this one mall. Well, he had a big Facebook following, a lot of friends. There's a lot of Trump supporters on there, and they're happy, you know, Merry Christmas and all that. So he, in his Santa outfit, he took a picture with a MAGA hat on and then posted it on his Facebook thing. No kids involved. He didn't do it, wear it at work, or wasn't nobody around. It was just a private thing that he did with his fans and put it up there and thought it'd be cute. Boom, they get him fired from the mall.
Oh, God.
He goes on Laura Ingraham. I'm sorry. He's kind of apologetic. She's like, you know, tell him to get bent, man. You know, but he's just, just like Santa would. He's like, look, I don't want to politicize for the children. I just got to get back to the children, miss the children, love the children. And the whole thing, I'm thinking of Miracle on 34th Street. It was that kind of thing. They went after him. I mean, when the bad guy, when the SJW, when the, you know, the politically correct police go after Santa Claus. And this guy is like a real Santa Claus. He was like Miracle on 34th Street Santa Claus. When they go after this, I'm going, man, there's got to be some Rubicon got crossed. You know what I mean?
You're completely right. That's it's something like that will cross it. I mean, the left tried to do it with that Greta, you know, the Greta Thunberg, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to make that, you know, a young 12-year-old girl with a handicap, you know. I mean, that became, and they tried to make that the Rubicon.
Oh, is that her thing? She's handicapped in some way?
What's that?
She's handicapped in some way?
Oh, yeah. She's supposed to, she has, And guys, some of you listening probably know better, but she either has a low form of autism or something like that. So that's why the left keeps trying to scream bloody murder about Donald Trump, because when he mocked her because of her stance, right? I mean, after all, I mean, she's nothing but a puppet to the left and George Soros anyway. They've proven that Soros was behind paying to prop her up for the world stage. But that aside, they're saying, oh, how dare he? It's a young girl and she's handicapped. She has a mental challenge, or I forget. If you want, just pull it up if you're curious. But she has something like lower autism. So they're making it even more so that Trump is so low. He's going after, mentally handicapped young girls. I mean, it was nothing but a setup job. George Soros said, anything that he says against what this Greta says, they're just going to pound on him. And, of course, no one's listening anymore. Heck, I mean, hopefully no one's even listening to our show. The rest of you people should be enjoying your holidays.
They are enjoying their holidays.
Don't even listen to us. What the hell?
What are you talking about? Well, if we're not going to do it tomorrow, Donna, go ahead and call, let Ian know that I'm not doing it if you're not doing it, because I'm not doing it.
All right, look, Ernie, let me tell you, we're real serious. I don't want to get too business stuff on the show, but I really would love to do it. Matter of fact, I'm sorry I crossed the wires for today, but my daughter, she's 2.5. And
oh, no, you can't miss that one. No, yeah, no, you got to do that one.
First time she just understood Santa Claus. She's waiting for Santa Claus. We have a chimney. Our new house has a fireplace. We've been doing Elf on the Shelf. She's like all stoked waiting for Santa to show up. So I got to make sure something happens. So.
Yeah, no, we got to get that. Yeah, that's, but if you grow a beard and lose a couple of pounds, you could be Santa Claus.
I have to. Well, oh, losing him. Thank you. Thank
no, somebody you. Said that to me one time. They go, if you grew a beard and lost a couple pounds, you could be Santa Claus. I'm going, oh, I'm sorry, man. I go, no, that was pretty good.
Well, it's all good. I hope it's going to be a good Christmas overall. I think not just for us, but for everyone listening and the country. I really, it's funny. I hope it's going to be a break for people. I hope it's not too stressful. I mean, kind of like with Thanksgiving. And we'll talk maybe after the break, but it's interesting that the momentum of this impeachment issue, this joke of impeachment, which we'll talk about later, because I'm pretty depressed about it. I was thinking of going to Pete Buttigieg, because I'm so depressed that they impeached my president. I'm so ashamed. I've been hanging my head every day now. I can't go outside in public. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But it's interesting that they impeached him, and now with this holdup, this whole political game, it's right now with the holidays, with everyone basically taking a break from it. And Laura Ingraham, I think, actually speaking of her again, made a point that, you start to deflate the momentum, because normally people are getting all riled up. And all of a sudden, you just check out. This is why I'm saying it's therapeutic not to listen to our show right now. But the thing is, people check out and then they talk to their family and we'll see what happens. And then people come back. And I think people are just finally throwing their hands up saying, I've had enough. And they're checking out of it. So this political game, I don't know. I don't know if it benefits the Democrats or not in this little poker game that I think they're losing and they know it. So your take on it? What do you think about the momentum?
I think they them those are going to do exactly whatever it is they them those want, and they just need you not to get too riled up about what's going to get forced down your throat. And they're doing everything they can to try and put fear, uncertainty, and doubt of it's going to go to crap and they got to fix it and do it this way. And they take more freedom, more property, and more value, and more, and restrict the land more, and restrict and restrict and restrict. And they want more money. It's just, that's what always happens. They go, well, who do you think's going to win, Ernie? I go, the government. Okay. So, it doesn't matter who you vote for, it's going to be the government. And they keep pushing this back one more election cycle. But they, them, those, are they keeping it together for Trump, or are they keeping it together for them? And I'm thinking that, there is a coalition between, they, them, those, and President Trump to even have anything left. If they thought they could get away with a little recession and lose Trump in the process and people not support him, they'd do it. But if they let it go, we talked about this in the first hour, all the mechanisms that they got trying to cover over what happened to Lehman before, there's a tsunami of debt coming. Then I don't give a crap how much. Man, you better crank up that printing press. I don't think a calculator goes that high. It is going to be overwhelming, and then what? I have no idea. I have no idea. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
All right, we can do some kind of prediction stuff. We got to do a next week show. It'd be, you know, you're going to do next week and we can do predictions?
Yeah, definitely. We'll do that. You there?
Yeah, I'm just doing some stuff.
That's fine.
Have you heard about our road trip thing?
Well, you're talking about your van and all the your truck that you're getting. Yeah,
we found the bus, you know, we bought it this last weekend in New Hampshire. Jay's picking it up and doing Bob and him and Derek. I've been scoping it out. Derek was going to buy it if I didn't. He's like, oh, hell yeah, I want that. I go, nope, my. So,
hey, you know, it's interesting. Joseph, we'll be seeing him today. He's like family for us. And anyway, he was asking about you and Donna and what you're doing. I told him about the bus and all that. And anyway, I was chatting with him. And he was surprised that I told him you were going to do a satellite dish and make the whole thing remote. And this whole thing is going to be all high tech to do it. And I was telling Joseph that, you know, I'm hearing other people doing this. Who else of note in our world? Tim Pool. Tim Pool, he just decked out his van to do the whole thing remote, and he's doing the same thing. He's like, you know what? There's no reason to be in a studio and be in some elitist New York or some production area, because the real action when the economy goes is going to be on the road when there's riots.
I'm looking forward
when there's
to
different
it.
Functions.
Well, I ain't going to no freaking riots. I'm running away from them. I'm out in the lone.
Well, I'm just
kiss
saying,
my ass.
In many ways, I mean, that's where the news is, and you'll be able to.
I don't care.
Everywhere.
I'm going to the news of I just left. Wow, let's go talk to people who want to leave. How about the ones that did, you know?
All right, come on. You know
hell yeah.
There.
Nope. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah, private eyes, they're watching you. You know, that was one thing, this whole FISA thing coming out of the Trump deal. They go, well, yeah, we're gonna really examine these. We're going to be doing some wrist slapping, and we're going to keep doing it. That's what they're going to keep doing, you know. So I'm looking at this FISA, whole concept of the FISA thing. What up with that, Frank?
I mean, it's interesting that the FISA courts that have been in the dark this whole, or at least from the public's point of view, finally have come out, and they said that they were raked over the coals. Well, they themselves were lied to, and they supposedly came out raking the system over the coals over it. I'd like to see the next
report.
Who
did? I
mean,
who says
the next report coming out? Wait, but the thing is, remember, the FISA judges were lied to. And my one of my frustrations has been this whole time watching this is the linchpin was the FISA court giving the permission to spy on the Trump campaign.
That's what they're there for.
When it came out a year or so, a year and a half, 2 years ago, that the information that was used for the FISA court was made up by the so-called, you know, bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton, you know, dossier. It's like Sean Hannity saying that, but it's true. I mean, when they found that out, and they knew this a year and a half, 2 years ago, imagine if you're the federal judge, the FISA judge, and you're sitting home, and you know you just got hornswoggled. Or did they? And that's been the question. If you never heard from them, were they part of it? That was, of course, the conspiracy point of view. Or was it that they were bound to be quiet about it, even though everyone else is leaking every day? But, I mean, I always wondered about the FISA judge. Who was that person? Who were the people involved? And did they know they were hornswoggled? And how goddamn pissed were they? That's the question I've been sitting back waiting for. And that seems to have been coming out, how angry they are. So I think that's a missing link to the story when this thing gets exposed more.
What's the missing link? That they were what? Of course they know they were a hornswoggled. They're part of the swoggling.
Well, I just think that would be a powerful part to this. I know from your point of view, it just doesn't matter, who cares, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's get that out of the way. I'm just saying that in this entire story, though, in the story, there's certain linchpin people, many people that we don't know of yet, right? That were integral into this. Some people are power players that maybe the Republicans know of and the liberals don't. But you need something that's going to be forced out into the open that both sides are forced to acknowledge. And the FISA judge is that person. Remember, that FISA judge was. That was like the domino. That was the one that had to be triggered, and it came down to one person. And it's a person kind of like with the whistleblower. You know, everyone's wondering who the whistleblower is and the name that cannot be named, Eric, whatever his name is. I would say it if I can pronounce it.
Yeah, who gives a crap?
Anyway, I would say anyway. Screw the man. But anyway, the thing is that person is like the linchpin for this whole impeachment deal, right? But the linchpin for the entire FISA abuse, Russiagate, Deep State, James Comey, the entire goddamn thing. In many ways, you have a FISA judge that in theory took an oath to do what's correct. And remember, this FISA judge probably had no clue what was really going on. They were presented with this information, probably couldn't believe that the system would be that corrupt to lie to them. I mean, you've got the most powerful people in the DOJ saying, this is why we think we should be able to spy on a U.S. citizen running for office. They must have taken it pretty damn seriously. I mean, if you're the FISA judge, just forget for a minute and don't be too conspiratorial that they were all part of the whole thing smoking cigars. You know, they had to push. Remember, you have to remember, they went to the FISA courts first and they refused the order to spy on Trump. So they had to go back to the drawing board. And that's when they came up with the dossier thing. And that is what pushed it over the edge for him to sign off on it. And now we found out that what pushed it over the edge was a goddamn lie. And so the FISA judge and the court, you know, the whole system involved has been made a complete fool of by these people. So that's why those are the people I want to hear from. These are the names of people. We don't know who they are yet, who I think can really be game changers, you know, publicly.
Okay.
Both sides.
All right.
It just doesn't matter, right?
This is the FISA court.
But do you understand my point, though? Do you understand why it's a linchpin kind of person involved?
Yeah, no, the linchpin is that, you know, that the FISA court even exists. They are there to do this. That's why they're there. You know,
when
you got these guys coming in for the FISA warrant, they're just like, county attorney can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, you know, they know they're going to get. What do you need? You know, here we want because he's bad. We don't like Trump. You know, here it is. You'll sign this, and they go, come on, man. You'll give us something. I mean, holy crap. Okay, we'll be right back. So they go get the steel. Yeah, look at that. Okay, boom. They stamp it. I'm going, it was just like what happened with Moody's and S&P and all these guys when they're giving AAA ratings on stuff. Well, give us a reason. I mean, we can't do, all right, well, we traded them back and forth for 6 months and we amped it up in the past performance, future performance of kind of, you know, stamp at AAA, okay? You know, it's the same thing. They're there, they're created to give permission to do what they did. It's like Butler Schaefer, the constitutional law professor, he goes, yeah, you know that Constitution, that's a document that's supposed to prevent them from doing all the stuff they do.
You know, it's they do it anyway. The FISA court is there to do this. It's not to prevent this. Why do you think they're even there? I mean, it's so they can do this surveillance stuff secretly. Well, they're going to do secret surveillance. What'd you think what the hell was going to happen? And you don't know who the FISA judges are. We still don't know. You know, they're secret. They're secret judges with secret papers and secret. This is all this JFK secret societies and secret meetings and secret crap.
Well,
the
thing is, yeah, but Ernie, it's set up sort of like the grand jury.
It's set up to do whatever the hell they want. That's my point.
Well, that's true. You know, Ernie, I know you'll laugh at what I'm going to say. It is Christmas time, so maybe I've just had a little too much hot chocolate.
You're too forgiving, man.
Jimmy Stewart movies, but I'll tell you what. You know, I think when it comes to government, it's always two like yin yang balancing act. It's the balancing act of the system, because you always need a system. I know you want anarchy, and I get that, but there's always rules. You need some kind of society, some kind. And so the first part is the fairness and the checks and balances of a system. But that is also ultimately checked and balanced on the other side of humanity, of just people in at the end of the day, forgetting the 4% sociopaths, which is why I bring that up so often. But for the 96% of us that's left over, you know, it's for people, men and women, to know in their gut what is right and wrong, and to act on it, to know how far can one go before it becomes a problem. And therefore, check the system and balance it out. And the whole vote for Donald Trump was that. People who voted Republicans and Democrats and people who voted for the system who felt the system was broken. The same thing with Brexit. People saying, enough, I don't trust the system anymore. And it goes back to the gut level, this is wrong. And that is what we're seeing, that balance. And by the way, before I turn it back over here to you, buddy, to your own show, let me just point out one person in particular, just one example. And that is an African-American federal judge that was put in place by Bill Clinton. And guess what that person did? He was the judge that forced Hillary Clinton, by threat of being arrested, to finally turn over the damn hard drive after she wiped it with a cloth, okay? It was him that sent the police, and on the day of the arrest, she finally turned it over. Federal judge under Hillary, under her husband.
Oh, yeah, and I bet that drive was all kinds of, supportive of a lot of, we got a bunch of data of stuff, right? 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 Is it on there?
Yes.
Is it all good?
Yeah.
We're all good now?
Yep.
All right. They got a system. All right. Cell 411 is a free app for Android. Yeah, you're killing me. You know, it's all.
No, well, it's an example, though. I mean, I'm really serious.
Serious too. This whole thing is bullshit.
That was a profiles in courage. It might sound silly, but a profile in courage. Imagine you're a black Democrat judge put in by the husband of the person that you're saying you have to.
Who the hell else would you think they'd pick to do it?
What?
Who do you think they would pick to do it? Oh, yeah, we're going to – because if it was somebody else, a real judge, he would have forced them to do it, 3.7 days earlier. I think, wait, we need time to – send the cops on this day. Can you do it at 10 a.m.? Give us till 10, I mean, it's just – it's all theater. I'm just so sick of the theater and the process. It's just bullshit. Bullshit on top of bullshit with some bullshit frosting. Little sprinkles of bullshit. It's just, seriously. So I'm going, I don't remember eating no corn. Anyway, so yeah. So this is just,
I'm in break right now. I've been yapping so much.
Yeah.
We're in break.
Yeah.
So my better half here, my wifey, Savarda, there's one thing why she has not been an official Tambori in our family is that she has never watched Star Trek: The Next Generation. And in my family, every friend and family back east, that was like our mantra. We know the episodes by heart. So she finally succumbed, and we're doing a Next Generation marathon. And she's finally really appreciating being part of the club now about all my references to Star Trek.
Yeah.
Picard is such an amazing character. I wish he existed in real life. But the thing is, one of the things, like the first episode of Encounter Farpoint, where they meet Q for the first time, and I don't want to get too much into off track here, but Q, basically Picard and the Enterprise meet this godlike being who puts humanity on judgment
on
for
trial.
All the crimes of humanity.
Yeah.
And Picard himself has to defend humanity. Otherwise, humans will be wiped out or whatever. And the thing is, what Gene Roddenberry, the theme of so many of his episodes in the original series of Next Gen, was just the duality of humanity. You know, the idea that we can be so evil and so bad, and we can kill each other and lie.
Some
damage to each other.
Minority.
And yet, at the same time, a point that we're like a scourge of virus, cockroaches. Some people really are, you know, Hillary Clinton. But I mean, Adam Schiff. But the thing is, some people, I mean, there's evil in the world that we all know. I mean, God knows the atrocities that were done before we had government. I mean, oh, God, forget that statement.
Those atrocities were done by government.
What I'm talking about is we're talking 1,000 years ago.
Form of some government or some leader of follow me and let's go kick ass.
I know that would set you off. What I mean is like 1,000 years ago, we just had a tribe. You had some teepees or whatever, and some warring tribe came and just killed. And just, I don't even want to say it right now. It's Christmas time. But do things to the children and the women and just massacre. I mean, we had atrocities that happened before. You know, anyway, the point is humanity is so evil in so many ways. And yet, as Gene Roddenberry points out, it's balanced with equally profound beauty of humanity, of the arts, of compassion.
Or even more equal, that balances in our favor. It's just the bad guys are really bad.
Right. And good people can be really good. And that's I go back and forth on this myself. And when I get so cynical and F the world and this and that. But yet at the same time, I mean, I have to say, Gene Roddenberry really had it down. It's, you know, I have a hard time with this because I tend to be, as an INTJ, I tend to be more black or white, and either you're good or bad.
All right, here, we're coming back. We'll talk about it. Here we go.
Okay.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, what were we saved by? Saved by zero. As in, zero government. I need... Yeah, you like that one? That was good. All right, so this is what I see happening. There is, we were talking about Star Trek Next Generation. Savarda, his wife, is kind of sharing that, finally getting a binge watch on it. And I remember in the far point, the first episode you were talking about, or later when he was talking to Q, and he goes, that's what this is all about. You're afraid of humanity. You're afraid of our vision. You're afraid of our imagination. You're afraid of what we'll become. You're afraid because how like Shakespeare was like, how like angels in anticipation. You know, how the future is going to be, very interesting. And what is threatened by our autonomy, our independence, our self-reliance. Or if you don't need they, them, those, they want everybody to know why they need us. Well, what happens when we don't need them? Then what? You know, well, then we don't need them. And they're parasites on humanity. And that's where Dr. Frank really has gotten me. I did a show last week with James Corbett, and it was on this issue. It was on, you know, he did a episode on sociopaths and, you know, or bad guys in government and central, whatever the hell. And I'm going, you know, Dr. Frank really got me opened up to the concept of sociopaths, you know, the role that they play in our society. And the biggest mistake, they may be good for a lot of, I have no idea what, but, you know, diversity and humanity of something, but you do not want to give them power. You do not want to have a shiny badge and somebody without empathy or compassion, which is what the, you know, Christ and Christmas and the New Testament and everything was all about. It was compassion and empathy towards your fellow man. And that, when in the Bible, has always been the consistent thing. Evil was sociopaths. The evil that was because they didn't care. The evil that they were able to do, it's just, that was the trait. And they tried to call it evil. Well, they may do evil, but why? Because they don't care. So I'm going, this is what I think we're up against. I keep going, what are we up against? What it's this. And Dr. Frank kind of helped me see it. And the more you kind of realize something, you recognize it, then you see it everywhere. And you see it where it is. It's in government. It's in all these, you know, them even lying about, oh, man, if we only had did it right. You know, if we had a good FISA court as opposed to what the hell we got a FISA court for. So this is I can see that this is my trend into 2020. I see the pendulum coming back. And it's going to come back in a way that it's kind of ratcheting. It can't go back the other way because information is there for a consolidation of opinion, of just general public opinion going, man, they suck. So I don't know how they're going to unsuck. You know, it's going to be Trump is like, I'm going to unsuck them. I mean, what do you think Trump is going to do?
I'm not sure your question.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Why? This whole opinion of government in general, of they, them, those, of them, because I think Trump administration and the banks and all those, you think they're on two different sides, and I'm seeing they are got the same interest. They need to keep this Ponzi scheme of going one more election cycle, and they're all in on it. And if they pull, I don't think they pull support of the economy under Trump, it's going to bring down the entire system, not just Trump, yeah. And they're not willing to do that.
Well, I get that. I mean, I have.
Well, they are.
For you know, one of my themes for like 20, 30 years, when I was in, getting involved in political discourse and debates, I would often bring up the Constitution or bring up things, and they'd say, "Why are you getting all technical Constitution, this and that, and about history and how we got here?" And then of course that's why I talk a lot. People think I'm just rambling, blah blah blah, and that's fine. I'm sure you and I get the same the overall critiques, but. I used to say that to me, the importance of understanding the foundation is to know how we got here, because when the economy finally falls apart, and we've been looking at this for decades, since we're taking off the gold standard, and this audience already gets it. It's amazing how resilient the economy's been this long, obviously. But when it happens, my biggest fear, and this is probably the paramount issue I've brought up, is that when it falls apart, the people are going to blame the Constitution. This is what Hitler and other fascists and dictators do, is they say, you see the system we had before, it failed you. And therefore, give me the power, kind of like Darth Sidious, give me the power and I will make everything good. And that is what people fall victim to if they don't understand how they got there. And that's what they are always taking advantage of. So I've always pointed out, it's important to understand how the Constitution, how it really was written, what, so the Constitution, I don't want to debate about, I know that anarchists don't even like that, but the thing is, the Constitution is an absolutely beautiful document. Everything, the Electoral College, the more that you study how it's put together and what the rules are, it's beautiful. It's just that it's when it's not followed, and people don't even know it's not being followed because they're not taught civics in class. They have no understanding. I mean, I think it's only 1/3 of Americans even know anything about the Electoral College, or they don't even know about who's president. I mean, some real dumbass stuff. We were dumbing ourselves down. And that's my concern. So when things fall apart, people will not understand the reason why. So, I think that's just an important component.
I know why.
I just think I think that to me is what's valuable, is to understand how we got here as much as possible, so people don't just
why do you think we got here? What do you think
where it went wrong with Sophie or whoever else?
Where to go wrong? What was?
I'm not making my point well, but it's the deeper issue. But in today's world, though, people want information so quick, and there's no foundation to anything. People are not taught civics, and it's all instant gratification, and there's people don't have an attention span to actually listen or understand things, and it'll probably never happen, as you and I have talked about. Well, you've talked about all the time the decentralization of everything, the way we find information and news. We will never ever have a focused, one-size-fits-all, here's the news, ABC, Walter Cronkite. Those days are so past us. My daughter will never understand that. And not to be funny, but I've often said too, we'll never have another Michael Jackson. We'll never have one person who captures the world in music. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe there's some master artist out there. But it will never have a thrill, like one album that breaks the records like Thriller, because everyone is in their own bubble doing their own thing. And we have to find a way to realize that this isn't inevitable. And of course, you've said this for years. It's just, how do we adapt to it? How do we How do we agree and make government changes when everyone is listening to different information? And you can't put the genie back. That's what the deep state and that's what the media is trying to do, you know, trying to, you know, shadow ban and edit and on YouTube and shut people down. They're trying. It's the last gasp to control the narrative. But we already know those that it's done. It's done. It's just how do we go forward with this? And so how, you know, and so yeah, we have half this country being told the Electoral College is racist. I mean, it's incredible. So how do we communicate, you know? So that's sort of the issue. And by the way, Ernie, since I'm sure you're probably reading something because you're letting me talk this long.
No, I'm listening. I'm getting ready to jump on you.
No. So I want to make a point. This is something that it's one of my larger issues. I think a Christmas gift to anybody, and this is going to sound a little facetious, is, and I mean this from my heart, is that people have to learn to really listen to, quote, the other side. Now, the decentralization, what is the other side now? Because there's like a trillion sides. Everyone's got their own opinion. But what I mean is you can almost predict if someone today is a Democrat or Republican by how much they listen to the other side. Tim Pool did a whole thing. There's a study that came out from Tufts, I think. And they talked about how Democrats do not understand Republican positions, but Republicans mainly understand Democrat positions. It turns out that Republicans get 30 to 35% of their news, information, and cultural influences from the left, whereas the left receives less than 5% of their information news from the right, which should be no surprise. And then that shows how ignorant and arrogant they are, but they don't see it. Also, you know, the people on the left, they run away from debate, whereas conservatives like to debate with people on, you know, the other side. You've got people on the left befriend people on Facebook. People on the right don't defriend, right? I mean, people on the right, we never called for the, and that includes libertarians in this, we've never called for the censorship or banning of CNN or the Washington Post or YouTube videos. But the left, they're all in favor of selective editing and selective, you know, a banning because it's important. So when you go down that list, the left has put themselves into a bubble for decades. This has been a long purging process. I mean, I've argued to the left. I say this all the time. If you people don't believe that there's a media bias, then I'll shove it up their ass right now. Here's the point, okay? You people on the left always talk about diversity and equal representation, right? If there's 30% African Americans in this country, then 30% of the people working at Freedom's Phoenix need to be black. Okay, that's just the way they see it. It's got to be blah, blah, blah. Okay, so if you people believe this, then let's look at this. 50% of this country, at least, and by the way, the last census numbers, it's actually 53%. We lean center right, by the way, but let's just for not quibble. 50% of this country is conservative. 50% is liberal Democrat. And by the way, I mean no disrespect to libertarians because they're in there as well. I'm just trying to make a point. So if we're split 50-50, then why the hell is not 50% of the hosts on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, why are not 50% conservative? How come whenever they throw up a story and they have a talking heads, why is it you have a liberal host with four guests, panelists, talking heads? Three of them are Democrat, and you have one token Republican, sort of like politically incorrect with Bill Maher, where everyone just takes pot shots at. Okay, so therefore, if you want equal representation, you liberals, then why is it you don't have equal representation in the media of media that you claim is not biased? Fox News clearly is biased. They admit it. But the liberals don't think what they're listening to is biased. And it's that lack of understanding that has created a bubble that has marginalized conservatives over decades since Watergate. And in many ways, the liberals were correct. And they had a reason to be angry because the establishment, the military-industrial complex, created an establishment, both in the deep state and the media, that was right-leaning. A lot of us don't really recall that. But the left got so angry, they basically purged the Republicans from all different media, from Watergate, and you know, that's that was what was it? All the President's Men. What are those guys? Woodstein and
Bernstein and Woodward. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of created the chip on their shoulder that Republicans deserve it, and they were slow. And Republicans put their head down because they had shame, and they should have. but they allowed themselves to be slowly marginalized over years, and then they were not put on shows. They didn't have equal rep during these shows. Ronald Reagan kind of pushed it back a bit, but they were losing the narrative. So then slowly they were kind of banished to the world of AM radio. And that's when talk radio started to take off. Then it was decentralized, actually. Or not decentralized. It was deregulated, where then that's where Clear Channel came. And that opened up multiple franchise markets, which then led to Howard Stern. He was the first one, actually. Then came Rush Limbaugh and the conservative shows that we all have today. And for better or for worse, you know, because unfortunately, when you have national shows, you lose the local shows, and therefore you lose the local representation and a lot of the local topics that the communities would talk about. Now it's all national. But anyway, it went to AM radio and was banned there, banned off to there. So, and liberals, you know, they wanted to shut down AM radio, but they also acknowledged that AM radio, no one listens to that except old people. And new people, young people, are all television and then cable. So then finally they took over cable. And then Fox News came out as a response to being left out on the cable shows. And
all right, here we're coming back. You can explain it to us. Here we go.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, it's the walk of life. With Dr. Frank Tamberry on Trump Report explaining it to us. All right, he spent the whole break explaining it to me of how we're, I don't know what this, I don't know. All right, Dr. Frank, to sum it up, your belief is that we're going to be going into this 2020 year and election cycle, that the people have come to the realization of what?
Well, I think they're starting to realize that the system is broken and the communication stream is broken. They just, a lot of times they can't put their finger on exactly why. I would encourage you, if you're interested in some of this, listen to the show, the break show I was talking about. In essence, the background about how conservatives became marginalized, and a lot of it's their fault from the Watergate years and the military-industrial complex.
Because they weren't conservative. Give me a conservative. Where's this limited government? We're going to have less and reduce and less taxes, less spending of less government, military.
I agree. I'm not talking about necessarily the philosophy of what they do, should have done, or what have you, because conservatives created not only the military-industrial complex and the deep state that was really on the right, but they also set up the beginnings, the failings of our economy. I mean, ultimately, it starts from Republicans. Remember, they were the ones that began to use the threat of prior wars, World War I, World War II, you know, Korean or whatever. They realized that after two wars, and keep in mind, there were people who were senators and representatives who either served in or knew people who served in both world wars. I mean, just kind of consider that. Imagine you're 60-something years old, and you know people who died in both World War I and World War II. You see the world a lot differently. And that is one of the reasons, I know we can't see it from today's perspective, but why they said, you know, we need a strong military to make sure this never happens.
Because they conned them into it. And the more you learn about each one of those wars, you go, we were just conned into this stuff. And they're conning us into the next one. And now we got Afghanistan. It's the Afghanistan papers. We conned you, but it's a con about the con of what was the real con. I'm like, you guys are killing me, man. I just don't care. I just be done.
Look, fair point. We want to get into all the nitty gritty of World War I and II. That's a whole other thing. But I'm just pointing out that was used, and I think many people did believe it. Well, look, Ernie, AOC is one of our representatives. I mean, and you've got Maxine Waters. I mean, you've got people in office.
Okay. This is one thing. This is of interest to me, that something that might interest me, and I don't zone out here. Okay. I want to know, is the Democratic congressional numbers of who's vulnerable in reelection and how the House may go Republican. You know, are the Democrats really concerned? Is AOC got some competition, or they need her, they pay her to be there because they need an example? I mean, you know, what do you think the makeup of the House is going to be in after 2020?
Oh, I think it's going to be Republican. I think, and I hate to, you know, count my chickens here and then give an egg on my face, but I think what we're going to see, and I've said this on your show for
years. Well, then they're going to fix it, right?
It's going to be Brexit. I'm telling you that there's everything going in that direction. I'm just telling you. I'll say this over and over. I think libertarians, even who don't normally vote, and you know, I'm not going to, you know, I respect your principles on it, but this election is not Sean Hannity. This election is the most important ever. No, this is a whole different deal. I've never said this in my life. This is not about abortion. It's not about the economy. It's stupid. It's not about any of these issues. This is, has to be, like with Brexit, it's a definitive vote on the culture of saying there's something broken in this system. And if you think that letting this bull loose in the political deep state China shop that is Donald Trump is helping everyone, including progressives, because he's attacking the very people who attacked Bernie Sanders, the very people who are keeping out even the left's viewpoints, legitimate viewpoints, whether we agree with them or not, they should be able to be expressed. And Bernie Sanders is their version of Ron Paul. And they are learning what we did with Ron Paul, how corrupt the system is. And it's the same thing. And Donald Trump is exposing all of these bastards.
Okay, that is
healthy.
Okay. Is Hillary coming back?
I still think she might. I mean, she's remember, she is a sociopath.
Steve Bannon said, absolutely, here she comes. And if she can rationalize it in her freaking jacked up head, it whatever.
Hey,
yeah.
I have, speaking of that point, because it's a great discussion, but here's something a little tangential. Did you hear who the kingmaker came out with yesterday?
About what?
So the Democrat primary, it's already. Okay, I'll be in a second here. My better half, she's going to pull me at the top of the hour. Okay. Here's the thing. Big news, or somewhat big news, I mean, it depends if you care, is that Barack Obama, who's been sitting back in the wings.
Elizabeth Warren!
Not saying much. And it's like, how come he's not voting for supporting his wingman for 8 years, the safe white man that made him safe to white people? Why not Joe Biden? Maybe because there's crap on him and he's not supporting anybody. He just comes out and he's now kind of unofficially supporting, endorsing Pocahontas. So that says a lot. I mean, because she is in many ways Bernie Light. She's the safe. People say she is Hillary Clinton wearing a Bernie Sanders mask. That's Elizabeth Warren.
If Elizabeth Warren comes out, she will make Hillary her VP.
Oh, that's a good one.
And
yeah,
then she's dead.
I can see that.
You know, but you never know. I see the way the Democratic Party works is a lot of people don't know what they call superdelegates. What that means is they're usually congressmen or politicos, and they have like super votes, and they go in and we want, and they just select. It's a coronation. It's not an election. It's a selection. And so when you go into the Democratic National Convention, they already got picked out. It's just how they're going to get people to take the medicine. I mean, they're just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And for this reason, excuse, we got a something, Hillary Clinton. So and who else would it be? You know, Bloomberg, gag me with a forklift. So here is Bloomberg coming out with all his, you know, gun stuff and everything. These are not winning issues, but he's doing something else. And he has the Bloomberg media is not covering any of his stuff. Hell no, you know. And he has some tech thing that he's investing gazillions of dollars in. And it's going to be like this Cambridge Analytica thing. And so the tech companies, the deep state or whatever, they're doing everything they can to make sure that you get only the news that they're that's fit to print on your cortex, and that's all you're going to get. So I'm seeing this play out, and that's why I want to hit the road. And see, I want to get mobile. I want to have, you know, the pirate communications of getting it. It can't come soon enough for me for what I do. And you're right. I want to go, and I don't want to go town to town to the riot crap. That's Luke's job. I'm like, I go, no, hell no. I want to go to where people left to. You know, they go, look, it's in the Wisconsin or whatever. It's Oklahoma and the Texas out in the middle of the Appalachia of, you know, bite me. This is the story that I want to see. This is where I want to, you know, and the people that are, you know, up against. And we're going to be using the vaccine thing as a deal. Oh, that takes an, Dr. Shiva takes a real Indian to beat a fake Indian guy. Had him on last week. He's all in on this vaccine thing. He can see it. He's a scientist of whatever in healthcare software. Guys, well, of course I do. I work with these pharma and big drug companies of the hospitals and so on. They know. You know, I'm going, man, this is going to break. And I don't know what the hell is holding this stuff together. Rubber band, scotch tape, and glue. Yep, 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 yep. And it's going to break.
Well, hey, look, before we finish off, I just want to point out a little fun, but also shows you the change or where the momentum is, perhaps. I made a little small donation to the Trump campaign. Maybe it wasn't so small, but in case Savard ever hears this, I don't want her to know. But anyway, I made a nice donation. And
you're on their list now.
I was able to get a bunch of Trump swag for Christmas. I mean, all sorts of Trump stuff, and I got stuff from my father, and there's like a T-shirt that says basically that if you don't like Trump, then I won't like you. I mean, that's his T-shirt, you know. My dad just thought was crazy enough to wear it. But the point is, I got a bunch of Trump stuff, Trump dog collars, all kinds of things, and Trump wrapping paper, which Donald Trump's face just kind of like crawling you with a Santa hat. It's like fantastic. Anyway, I ordered all this Trump stuff, and back in December 2nd, and it should have been there in a week or so. And anyway, I just got it a few days ago, which kind of sucks because I was late getting everything. I mean, I can't, you know, I missed out what the whole point was sending to people for Christmas. But the reason I was sent an apology is they said the demand was so overwhelming because of this impeachment thing, everyone was donating. I mean, every time they impeach him more, you know, but his fundraising skyrockets. So many people bought so much crap from Trump that there were delayed weeks getting everything out.
Hey, so, are you coming over for dinner tomorrow?
Oh yeah, I'll bring over my Trump swag. I want to see.
I want to see.
Anyway, I just want to let you know. So it's kind of an indirect. It's a fun Christmas story, but it shows you the momentum and the, you've got Nancy Pelosi with this hot potato, not knowing what to do with it, and that's a whole other discussion that's beyond amusing to watch. But Trump is just riding us to the bank, and if we saw how Clinton profited from the impeachment, this is a whole nother level. So,
are they going to forward the articles of impeachment?
I don't, you know.
Are they going to add more? This is ridiculous, man.
Over and over that they won't. They're going to find some excuse not to turn it over because it's not about Trump. It's about if they send it over, then they will be exposed to all the crap that they're doing. And wait, and here's the thing. Let's tie this together. That's probably why Obama finally is endorsing Pocahontas, because he knows that if this goes to the Senate, you see, if it
Biden
doesn't go to the
done.
Senate,
yeah.
then no one's going to vote Democrat, and they're going to be blown out because they'll be so angry not following up on Trump. If it goes to the Senate, then, of course, it opens up all the attack on Biden during the election year, and Biden is the great white hope, or I should say the hope, I didn't mean for the race thing there, but he's the hope for the establishment. And, of course, Obama knows how toxic and tainted he is. So probably he sees the box that they're in. Biden is done, whether they all know it yet or not, politically, because of the Senate trial. And so, therefore, he's coming out ahead of time with Warren. I'll bet that that's what the deal is. They can't allow that to happen. And Schiff will be on the stand and all the rest. So that's what's going on here, you know. So
I
don't know. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. But Artie, one last thing. What gets me infuriated, though, is that the liberals have no idea because they don't listen to the other side, is that they changed the rules for the first time in the House under sociopath Schiff to not allow the Sixth Amendment right under the Constitution for someone to face their accusers. They took that away from Trump. He never was able to defend himself during the House. For the first time ever, they couldn't call their own witnesses. And now these bastard hypocrites, taking advantage of the idiocy of their people in their bubble, is that now they want to send it to the Senate. And they're saying, we're not going to send it to the Senate unless we're allowed to call witnesses. We want to make sure it's fair. And the leftist viewers have no clue. They want to accuse the Republicans of not allowing witnesses, but they did it themselves and wasn't even covered. It's you know, we are at the breaking point of news and our own realities. There's no question about it.
Well, I'm looking forward to the repudiation of all things government, and they're helping. So I'm like, all you guys doing me a solid. I really appreciate that. But I never get what I want. I want a freaking trial.
Yeah.
You know, and this was been since day one, since the beginning. Hell, he didn't even take office. We were talking about that. And I go, I want an impeachment trial. That's what's going to do. And I thought, man, they teased the shit out of me. They were little teasers. They got it right up to them. We're not sending them. I go, you guys, that's amazing. I didn't know they could even do that. That's awesome. So, you know, it'd be more to talk about tomorrow. All right. Well, I'm glad you're coming over. I'll see you tomorrow, man.
All right, thank you. I mean, Merry Christmas to everyone listening, and let's all try and enjoy each other's families. At the end of the day, that's what all this is about. So
yep.
Have yourself a great holiday. Bye-bye.
Peace.